Hey everyone, welcome back to the Handlebar Podcast. On this episode, you are actually going to be listening to one of our YouTube exclusive sessions that we've been doing. A lot of you guys have been asking if we could make them available on our podcast platform, which we have. But if you haven't already subscribed to our YouTube channel, go ahead and go to YouTube and hit that subscribe button. That way you can stay up to date with any new episodes or any new content that we upload. So these sessions have honestly been so much fun, and we've heard so much great feedback from you guys. So yeah, anyway, without further ado, we hope you guys enjoy this episode.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Handlebar Podcast. This is Sessions, where it's just two of us. Yeah, we do 10-minute conversation, and we do this for you guys. We're really excited about this format. And so I'm excited to do this with Sarah Beth. Last time we did this, it was really powerful.
Yeah.
We talked about like spiritual apathy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord just really showed up.
Just showed up.
Makes sense. I think he cares about that.
Yeah, yeah. So let's see what we're going to talk about
yes.
today.
We have Aaron. He's going to ask us our question.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, here's a question. How do you deal with disappointment? This is from Rhea, who's 20 years old and lives in Chattanooga, Tennessee. How do you deal with disappointment? Wow.
It's a broad question.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, let me start the timer.
Disappointment. How do I deal
Have
with
you ever been disappointed?
Yes. The first thing I think of is a verse in Proverbs that says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick."
That's right.
"But a desire fulfilled is a tree of life." Hmm. So I think the first thing that comes to mind is if you're disappointed, more than likely, especially if you're disappointed with God, your heart is sick and needs to be touched by him.
Yes.
And so I want to encourage people, if you're in the middle of disappointment, know that a desire fulfilled is coming and it will be like a tree of life to you. But I think the main thing I've learned through feeling disappointed is that I'm not actually disappointed in whatever situation is before me, whether it be a relationship that was lost, a job that I didn't get, when I wanted to get pregnant so bad with Rosie and it took over a year.
Wow.
I was disappointed in all those things, but there was a deeper thing going on in my heart that I was disappointed with God, and not only disappointed, but like didn't believe that he was actually good.
Yes.
So I think if you're dealing with deep disappointment and you think it's towards someone or in a situation, I'm not saying those things aren't valid, but I am saying check your heart with the Lord. And you know, we sing that song, "You're never gonna let me
yeah.
down." I've sang that so many times, being like, "I feel like you have let me down." But he can handle
so
that.
Good.
He can handle that. And I've learned that when I'm real with him, instead of just, you know, saying the right things and hoping to believe the right thing about him. But when I'm real with him and I say, "Lord, I'm disappointed. Let's just say I'm disappointed that it's taking me so long to get pregnant. This is in the past with Rosie."
Yeah.
It's like he can handle that. He can handle me saying like, "I don't really think you're going to come through. I don't think you're good." Why? Because he shows me who he is, his character.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I just dove in real deep, real fast, but
That's
we
amazing.
Got 10 minutes. So why not?
I think it's crazy because this conversation is really connected to being honest with God.
Right.
I'm thinking of our pastor who teaches about disappointment from John 14, where Jesus is talking to the disciples.
Yes.
He's having this conversation with them before basically all their dreams are going to get crushed. Is what it looks like. Is they're having this idea that Jesus is going to become king. He's been preaching about a kingdom. They're going to rule and reign with him. And they have these ideas that this is actually going to happen.
He dies.
And he's going to die.
Crazy.
A very different thing is going to happen. And Jesus is with them right before he dies and is like, "Hey guys,
I'm going to turn there.
I'm leaving."
Yep.
I'm going to go.
Doesn't he say, "Don't let your heart"?
And he says, "Don't let your heart be troubled." And he also promises that some crazy stuff is going to happen. But he says, "I'm going to my Father's house and you know the way to where I'm going." So he gives this, basically this way to process your sorrow.
Wow.
And I think what happens a lot is we get disappointed. It's normal. Kids get disappointed. That's not a bad thing. It's actually good that you get disappointed or you get sad.
Yeah.
Because it means you cared about something.
Ooh, that's
your heart
good.
Is alive. If you're never getting disappointed, you're afraid of getting disappointed. So you're just like, oh no, that doesn't affect me. Like I'm not offended by that or anything. That's a sign to me that you've actually shut off a lot of your heart towards desire because you're afraid of being affected by things.
Yeah, that's good.
But there's a way to deal with disappointment. And that's what Jesus is after right here, because Jesus understands the heart.
Yeah.
And he recognizes that if that disappointment stays there unchecked and is never processed with the Lord,
yeah,
it's going to get really nasty.
Yeah. It's like an open door to just going downhill.
To bitterness.
And bitterness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's like milk.
Okay, like, tell me about that.
Well, like if milk goes bad like one day, you just got to throw it out or whatever, right? But the longer you leave it in it just gets weird. And that's what happens
to
our hearts when we don't deal with the sadness or feel the sadness of a moment. And we just think, no, like it'll be fine and it's not going
to
be fine.
They start to get sour.
Yes.
Like spoiled milk. Then they start growing other things.
Yes.
Like spoiled milk. That's so true.
I can think back in my own life of times where I thought I was big enough to just say, you know, this, I'm going to be fine.
Yeah.
God
I can
is
handle
good.
This. Yeah.
That does not work.
No.
That does not work.
It's not
work.
True intimacy. It's not like, it's not true relationship
That's
with
right.
our Father. Like
yeah.
I'm thinking about if I'm going to my dad, let's just say, I think actually this happened in real life. Like so many conversations with my dad. I was a volleyball player growing up. And if we would lose, on the way home, I wouldn't just be like, oh, whatever. It's fine. Like I'm good. I'm happy, Dad. Let's go eat lunch. I'd be like, man, I'm so disappointed. I wanted to win so bad, Dad. And he would always have a better word for me. But you did so good. You were so consistent on the court. It's like making me emotional thinking about it. Because it's like, when I am real with my Father, he always has a better word for me. When I'm saying, God, I'm disappointed about this. Like, I'll never forget. I was so disappointed that I wasn't pregnant yet with my first baby. And I went to church one night. I like laid on the altar, gave it all to God. Wow. Thought it was gone, right? The disappointment. I get a text from someone right when I'm getting in my car that like a family member is pregnant.
Wow.
And it's so funny to think about now because I'm going to have my third kid and I'm like, whoa. But in the moment, it was very real for me. And I felt that little like twinge of, first of all, like, are you kidding me, Lord? I just gave this to you. This is an absolute joke. And so I knew I was still really sick in my heart because I was angry, all the things. And I remember just crying in my car after I got that text and being like, God, I don't think you're going to do this for me.
Yeah.
And I just saw a picture of him like my dad when I would tell him about those disappointments in the volleyball games, just kind of understanding look, but like smiling eyes of like, oh, if you could only see what was coming.
Wow.
Like when I would tell my dad about the disappointment with my volleyball games, little did I know that I would play in college one day and I would get to go play volleyball in China and I would get to do all these crazy things. But it's like my Father knows, he sees all of my potential. He sees all of the good plans that he has for me. So he's listening.
You.
He sees the truth.
Yeah.
So he's listening and he's invested, but he's also like, oh, but it's going to be so good. I promise, you know? And so I think this is a lot about being honest with God, because she's asking how to deal with disappointment. Be honest with God.
Yes.
Be honest with your Father. And if you don't know your Father, if you don't have a relationship, we'll pray for you at the end.
And
you will.
I want to say too, this is a so shared human thing.
It's normal.
Everyone shares disappointment.
Yes. You're not like
because anyone who hopes is disappointed.
Ooh, that's good.
But what I'm thinking of the garden, and this is the first and like situation that this happens is they fail and they decide we're not going to tell God. That this happens. We're not going to tell God about these bad feelings we had or what we did. And what it prevented was Adam and Eve prevented themselves from receiving the gift of the Father's perspective.
Wow.
And Jesus came.
To restore that.
He said, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. And he quoted Isaiah 61. And that's like what I keep thinking about as you're talking, because the promise of Isaiah 61 is beauty for ashes. Is joy for mourning, is a double portion of honor instead of your shame. in order for you to receive that, you've got to bring what you have.
Yeah, it doesn't just happen.
It's a double portion of honor instead of your shame. That means you've got to bring your shame.
That is so good.
I think a lot of times what happens with disappointment is we're kind of like, oh no, God is good. Like, I don't have shame. I don't have ashes. I'm good. Like,
but there's no beauty understand. Without the ashes.
Right. You have to bring that in order to receive the Father's perspective, what's true. Because a lot of times your ashes look like God's not good.
Yeah.
Based on this situation, I believe God's not a good father.
And it's not like he's offended by that. We said this in the beginning, but he can handle that. And no, not just yeah. that. He replaces the lie with truth. Something yes. that my counselor, our marriage counselor has taught us is when the lie is exposed, unless you say the lie is God's not good,
yeah.
right? He's so eager to restore that with the truth. So what you do is you're like, okay, this is the lie I'm believing. Jesus, what's your truth?
Yes.
And he immediately speaks and not just, you know, with, I don't know, it's like, it's not just words. It is his word that he speaks, but it's like it's living and it's active. It's Hebrews 4:12. Right. His word is alive. It's active. It's sharper mm-hmm. than a double-edged sword. And I think that is what has got me through disappointment is hearing his voice in the moment of the disappointment. And like you said, not pretending like it's not there.
Yes.
Our pastor will say something all the time is, what are you like pretending not to know when he teaches mm-hmm. about heart health? And you're just like, ah.
Wow.
You know, what are you pretending not to know? And I think in the Christian world, especially in the Bible Belt in Dallas,
yeah.
it's like, God's good, brother. Amen. You know? And sometimes I'm like, oh, there's the timer. I don't feel that way. And it took me, gosh, like probably 20, 21 years of my life to get to a place where I could sit alone in a room and like just let it all out before God yeah. because I thought I wasn't allowed to. I don't even know why. It's a spirit. It's a spirit of religion. That's trying to be good enough for God.
Yes.
And it's just like,
it puts on a nice
forget that, man. It doesn't
right
work.
Things. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell one story real quick and we can get into handlebars. Yeah. I remember I was dealing with a lot of disappointment right after we got married, not towards Aaron. He's amazing. But I had fantasized my wedding, marriage, having a baby. Like, there was just all a big fantasy to me. I didn't know it was, but I had like idolized all of that. So, about 3 months after we got married, all of the wedding was over, the honeymoon, everything. And I just was depressed, honestly. I was like, this isn't what I thought it would be. I'm struggling. I was also going through so much in my heart with the Lord, getting free of so many things. So it was just a lot going on. But the core of it was disappointment. And I remember I called my spiritual mama and I was like, I'm just, you know, unloading. And she's like, I'm going to work. And she's like, call your boss, tell her I'm going to be just a couple minutes late. Check and see if that's okay. So I did. And it was. And I went into the parking garage and she's like, I want you to tell the Lord everything you're telling me, but completely unfiltered. And I was like, I don't even know how to do that. So I hung up the phone and I'm like hyping myself. I'm like, 3, 2, 1, you got this, Sarah Beth, you know? Yeah. And because if you've never talked to God that way alone, specifically, yeah. it feels so awkward.
Yeah,
and like,
it feels wrong.
It feels wrong. Like, I'm not supposed to do this. I'm supposed to be a good Christian, which makes me nauseous. But I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, here we go. And I start yelling. And I kid you not, probably, I don't know, a minute into what I'm telling the Lord, I'm yelling in another language. And I had already like received the gift of a prayer language.
Wow.
But this was another language. Like, I don't know what happened, but I got like another tongue to pray the perfect will of God over my life. And I still don't know what I said, but I got delivered. And so I'm just saying, not that that will happen Jeez. To you every single time if you do that. But what I'm saying is God met me in my disappointment. He met me in the unloading everything that I had never told him that I believed about him. And he put his words inside of me to pray for me, which sounds crazy, but it happened. And so
that's right.
Why do I share that? I share that because if you have not had a moment like that with God, I dare you to do it.
Yes.
See what happens. He's your father. He loves you so much. He wants to answer you. What?
Is that your handlebar?
That would be my handlebar. Yes. Is just to get alone with God. And if you've never been super honest with him. For me, it was like yelling, cussing, all the things that I never thought I should do. Mm-hmm. And it was so freeing. And anyway, so get alone with the Lord and be real And then listen to what he has to say about the disappointment in your heart and watch your heart be healed.
Yes.
Yeah. What's your handlebar?
That's so, so good. I just am thinking about what you're saying about my life, how I've related to disappointment, and how you're talking about it's about truth and lies. The disappointment isn't why you thought God isn't good. It exposed that you already had a belief that God wasn't good.
That is so good.
And that's what's happened in my life. Is these beliefs oftentimes come into our hearts when we're kids.
Oh, yeah.
And then we learn a lot of like religious rhetoric or things to kind of work around
them. Put Band-Aids on it.
But God has his eyes set on those things. He has his eyes set on 8-year-old Rafi, on 10-year-old Sarah Beth that was playing volleyball. And he's like, I want that. That one is mine. And I want to take that belief and give you a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think... my first handlebar would probably be what you said, is just honesty. We did an episode on this.
Yeah.
God desires our vulnerability more than almost anything else. Psalms 51 says that the desire of his heart, the sacrifice that he desires, is a broken heart and a contrite spirit, which to me tells me God wants us to be honest with him. He doesn't want us to say the right things.
Mm-hmm.
But I would encourage you who are watching this, who are being stirred by what Sarah Beth is saying, to read Isaiah 61 and read specifically about the parts where God is exchanging what we have for what he has. Because disappointment can actually become a meeting place where you receive a gift from God.
That's so good.
What you thought was actually what would destroy your life or what was wrong with you can become the place where you learn a whole new thing about God and he changes your life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my handlebar.
That's so good. I want to pray for anyone who is struggling with disappointment. You feel like your heart's become sick or you're overwhelmed thinking, man, I can't heal my heart, because that's just the point. You can't, but the Lord is going to. And I also want to pray for those who feel like they've never encountered the Father.
Yeah.
Because he is the remedy. He's way more than that, all that's coming out of my mouth right now. So he's the answer. He's everything for your sick heart. So Lord, I just thank you for everyone listening to this right now, watching this right now. And for anyone who struggled with disappointment, I feel like I just see a picture of lots of childhood memories coming up. And so if the Holy Spirit's doing that, just allow him to do that and go into that memory, even if it's painful, because I promise you, Jesus is waiting to show you where he was in that painful memory. And disappointment can become such a lie of the enemy. It's not a lie that you are disappointed, but holding on to it can invite so many lies. And so I just thank you, Lord, that anyone that's struggling with a sick heart, Lord, that you would just give them a picture or a vision right now of the light at the end of the tunnel. That's what I feel the Lord saying. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Your heart won't always be sick, but I need you to come to me, son. I need you to come to me, daughter. And so I pray for anyone who hasn't had an encounter with the Father. God, I just pray, if anyone who's listening to this in their car, that you would just begin to fill them with your love, God. I just see like a bucket of liquid love pouring out. And I thank you, Lord, that it would just run through our veins right now. I feel your presence right now, Father. And so I thank you that you can handle anything that we have to bring to you. And you want our broken and contrite hearts. You don't want sacrifices or burnt offerings. You want our hearts. So we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Forgot to end. Love you guys.
We love you guys.
Thanks for watching.
Thanks for watching.